Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here with another video, and what I've decided to do this week, because the major is ongoing, is I'm going to try and record some little vlogs. Maybe I can stitch it all together at the end into something cool, but just some thoughts about what's happened in the previous day, and to do that right the way through the major, talk about stuff that's going on backstage, contextualize some results, and just put it out there so maybe people can enjoy my perspective and whatever, right? So, and I kind of saw that some of the Room on Fire guys were doing it, and you know, people like that kind of thing. So it's 5:30. I'm getting geared up for our 8 a.m production meeting, so I'm gonna try and take about 30 minutes here or so. But yeah, so it's upon us again, another major, and I've been doing lots of interviews about this. And I'm certainly going to repeat myself if you follow those interviews, but I've done them with so many diverse outlets, you probably haven't caught a lot of them, even if I've tweeted them out or whatever. But, you know, I genuinely mean what I say. I'm not just saying it because Turner and Ely got the major. This is undoubtedly, for me, the most competitive major that we've had in history. This is where there isn't a clear favourite. And we know historically as well that the clear favourite, when there is one, and people, we'll talk about Astralis in a minute and why I don't think they're a clear favourite, but whenever there's been a clear favourite going into the major, more often than not, that team doesn't win. You think about how long it took NIP to get one, you know, you think about there's been times when people said Fnatic couldn't do it. Certainly when Virtus Pro took the first one in Katowice, it was a surprise. This is just the nature of the beast, you know. These are world championships. These are the best teams coming together, and form is a very short-lived thing in esports in general. Counter-Strike, you know, it's very rare. I mean, like we do have these teams that have like dominated for years. You know, in like an actual year as a period of time, and you know, NIP, Fnatic are examples of this, but there's always those kind of anomalies. You know, even those dominant teams very rarely win everything. NIP, right at the start of CSGO history, is obviously a bit of a different situation. But certainly since the Fnatic era kind of came to an end, and you think about 2016 Q1, there was still the number one team. Since then, we've not really settled into a team that really does win every tournament and is all conquering. SK Gaming, they won the big ones, didn't win all of them. And certainly they're using a stand-in at this event. There's absolutely no guarantee. I think it would be insane. I think it would be one of the craziest stories if they were actually able to win this. So it's a super competitive major. When I was looking at it and looking at the numbers, you know, when you think like Flipside are winning tournaments coming into this, Gambit are winning tournaments coming into this, I think the only team that hasn't sort of won something coming into this, bizarrely, you know, in the last 3 to 6 months or whatever it is Fnatic, which is, again, just shows you how deep everything is. So I'm super stoked to see where it goes. I literally don't have a distinct idea that I'm 100% confident with of who's going to win. Now, I did say about 2 months ago my pick was going to be Na'Vi. It may be a little bit longer than 2 months ago. I think the acquisition of Simple means that everything that they have, you know, on paper, should make them the best team in the world. They had this wonderful tactical system. They've added incredible firepower to it in the form of Simple. They've got Guardian. You know, they've got players that can take over games. I mean, Flamey, when he plays well, Seized, when he plays well, which hasn't happened a lot lately. And it's been a bit messed up because obviously they don't have Starix doing the in-game leading and stuff. So, there's been problems there. And I think as well, just honestly, I think we know Simple is a special character. I think we all know Simple is a guy that comes into a team and he is a perfectionist. He is difficult to play with. I've not known one pro who said they found playing with Simple to be easy and pleasant. He's, you know, going to be down on the team when they make mistakes. He's going to be down on himself when he makes mistakes. He's going to be very much despondent when they lose games that he doesn't believe they should lose. And that's an incredibly high bar. He goes into every game thinking they should be winning every game because he honestly believes he's the best player in the world. And he honestly believes any team he's a part of can be the best team in the world. That's Simple's mindset. It's been his mindset going right back to when he was having a terrible time in Hellraisers and everything else. So, but anyway, they were my pick for the major. And even though evidence has shown subsequently that it might be a weak pick, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with Na'Vi to break the hoodoo. And that's my choice. So obviously the other big thing is everybody said Astralis were the favorites. And I thought this was really fucking bizarre, guys. Like, yes, they had a very good finish to 2016. Yes, they picked up some big tournaments. You know, they get to the final at E-League. They lose to Optic. They go to ECS. They beat Optic. You know, and they definitely showed huge progression under Glaive. But the assumption that they are the number one team in the world and that they should be winning the major, and it's not even up for debate that they're the favorites, I don't really know where that came about. I've been joking about it backstage with Thorin and everything, saying that it just shows what a fucking echo chamber CS talent actually is. And, you know, it's like one guy suggested it, and now all the experts are like, yes, I concur with this. Well, I do not concur with that whatsoever. I think Astralis are a great fucking team. I think they're back to where they were at their best, which was they could win tournaments. They certainly challenge. They were a guaranteed top four finish. But absolutely favorites? No, not for me. The assumption that bringing in a new in-game leader is going to somehow strip all of the four other players of their psychological hang-ups and quirks, their playing tendencies. Nah, it makes no sense to me. I think even the best in-game leader, if you sat down and deconstructed the individual play, you can't really do anything about players that have notorious psychological problems when it comes to winning things. And honestly, I think we saw it yesterday. I watched the Godsent game, Astralis versus Godsent. I watched that. I said in several interviews before that Godsent, they did a really good thing dodging China. By not going a WESG. And that doesn't mean I condone letting a tournament down, but it was very clear after they lost to that Tier 3 Polish side, they had a metric fuck ton of shit to work on. I mean, they literally had huge issues as a team. And they're not getting resolved in China. You know, whenever you make a journey to a place like China, you know, you've got all sorts of stuff that you need to sort out while you're out there, sleep pattern to adjust, games to get into. It's very demanding. It's demanding physically, it's demanding mentally, and you're not going to be able to sit down and practice while you're out there. There's not going to be optimal conditions. So dodging that so they could work on things, you know, that's just the smart play. That's the obvious thing to do. So while it's bad, it paid off. And I watched the draft. I was like, Astralis, what the fuck? Why are you letting Train through here? I get it. I mean, like, I think Astralis are potentially, there's like, I'm always loath to use the term best team in the world on a map. I don't really, you know, it feels like hyperbole because, you know, sometimes it's clear, like when SK Gaming dominated Train. Astralis have ended that run. And looking really, really good on Train. But, you know, while people haven't really been thinking about Godsent, they've been playing so badly, Godsent are fucking good on Train. You know, like, I the one thing they've really had down for them is they've been able to come out as a very solid, very, very good Train side. So letting that through, it's like, Astralis, you've got a deep map pool. You know, you've got a deep map pool. Fucking use it. Just use it, and you could have put yourself into a much more optimal condition. You know, I said I felt the game was always going to be close no matter what, just because of the talent involved. Astralis, you know, the issues they've got coming in as being clear favorites, I don't think they like that. I think that puts a new layer of pressure on them that I don't think they're going to adapt and respond to particularly well. It sucks when you go from being these underdogs, people have no expectations on you, and you're incredibly talented anyway, and the reason people don't have any expectations on you is because you flop all the time. It's very easy to come into a world championship where there's so many teams that can win it and just kind of fly under the radar, no one talking about you, no one has an expectation. Everybody is called Astralis to win this major. Everybody who's credible in the space. And God only knows how players that have notoriously, choked in semis and quarters down the years, I don't know how they're coping with that pressure. I mean, I watched in the interview with Device, I'm sure you all saw it, where he said, I think I prefer to play as underdogs, even though it doesn't really matter. Well, yeah, fuck yeah, of course, it's great, isn't it? People underestimate you. And I feel there's a little bit of karma kicking in there because they clearly underestimated Godsent. They said, Godsent have got all these problems. Let's let Train through. I mean, Godsent said they didn't even prepare to play Train because they were that confident Glaive would have done his homework and banned that map out. Now, it's interesting because Astralis do their vetoes by committee. It's not like Glaive authoritarian. Other players have input. They're going to have to watch that moving forward because that's an example where I think the draft really let them down. The favourites get off to a terrible start, losing a Godsent. And then, of course, as we saw in the draw subsequently, now they got to play Optic, and we know Optic can beat them. So they could go 0-2, and all the CS experts, you might be able to gnash and wail and wring your hands about how unfair it all is. It wouldn't be unfair at all. I mean, getting Godsent in the first round, there's a bunch of teams that would have killed for that. So anyway, the other games that, I'll kind of go through and just give my thoughts about them. I think we got off to a really good fucking start, actually, because I was watching the draw when it came out, and I think you can go back and watch the live show we did in Vegas. Gambit versus North. And again, I will make reference to things I've written on the E-League site. When Team Dignitas won Epicenter, just before that, I'd written an article about who I felt could win E-League Season 2, and I said I wasn't feeling Team Dignitas either. I think this is another hype pick that they've started to look good. They've got a very talented roster, but I'm not feeling them as a world-beating side just yet. Then they went to Epicenter and won it. So I'm like, okay, I'm wrong. They're obviously very, very good. They're obviously capable of winning these huge tournaments. But that said, since then, it's not been great. They've looked really, really poor. And, they've been picked up by North. Maybe that's a distraction. Trying to get that move to get out of Dignitas to get into FC Copenhagen and Nordic Films joint ownership project and get money. Maybe that's all been a distraction, but honestly, they haven't looked great. Now, all of that said, I felt you can still beat Gambit, surely. And I think most people would have agreed with that. But this always was a potential banana skin. I mean, I think if people have studied the form, Gambit are a really fucking good team now. And crucial to that, there's been a couple of things that's occurred to make Gambit a much improved side. Got to say, the acquisition of Zeus, who dropped 20 against the Danish boys, which is really good fragging performance from him. Didn't see that coming. The acquisition of Zeus, just as a mentality thing, is very good because Adrian's a veteran. He's never really struck me as an authoritarian figure, somebody who likes to stamp his authority. Very smart player, been very good, been punching above his weight for some time in Gambit. Dozier is just a player. He's never going to be more than that. He's sex god, sure, but he's never going to be a genius guy who tells people what to do. He concentrates on his own game. I think that's just a nice way of saying it. He's very self-centric. He just does what he's told for the team. And even then, within the game, he has a very loose style and he just plays how he feels. And people let him do that. That's the best way for Dozier to play. It's been the way his entire career has kind of worked. Mo is very up and down, hit and miss, but he did find a reasonable level of consistency yesterday. But for me, the big story is, and this is where stats don't tell the whole story because he was actually the bottom fragger. Hobbit has been just a revelation. I answered a Q&A on Twitter. Gambit themselves asked me, where do you see Gambit in 6 months? Incredible, difficult question to answer. But certainly, if they keep Hobbit, I think they're going to be in with a chance. Hobbit and Zeus have really transformed Gambit into a very good side. Now, we're talking about Danish teams fucking up drafts. Here's another example, in my opinion. Obviously, the randometer is going to be a factor in this. It always is in every major. But letting Cobblestone through against Gambit is bonkers. It's. I get it, you know, you're North, you're a good team, but again, you've got to give yourself optimal conditions to win. And Cobblestone is a map. Gambit haven't lost on that since October in an online game that went over, I think, it might have been a LAN game, but anyway, they haven't lost on it since October against Flipside in overtime in the Adrenaline Cyber League or whatever it is. And they're beating decent teams. You know, they've had some good runs. They're winning tournaments, and Cobblestone has become the bedrock of what they do. Why on earth are you going to play on that map? Even Moses said it to me. Like at the time, he's like, "They gone done fucked up with Cobble," and that's why he went with the pick for Gambit to win, and he was absolutely justified in that pick. I mean, it turned out he was right. So no, the Danes, both Danish teams, getting off to really poor starts, and again, I got to say, they played a little part in their downfall. Played a little part at all. So then the next game I think we had was G2. G2 taking on Fnatic. This is like kind of a battle of fallen giants, right? This is a match that would be like worthy of a final a year ago, you know, but now is just kind of sad. We're kind of waiting to see what happens transfer wise, who's gonna pick up players and which players are gonna be in, which players are gonna be out, what's gonna happen. And yeah, it was a tough one for me. I internally was plumping for G2, but I thought this was going to be close. I suppose 16-10 isn't close in Counter-Strike, and maybe not on cash. But yeah, I wasn't really feeling it on for either team because they've got these shuffles coming in. Now, it's got to be said, G2 managed to pull a monster performance out of RPK. It's the best I've seen in play. At a major, I think, quite possibly, just in terms of raw statistics. But I mean, everything he was doing was right. Everything he was doing was working. 114 ADR, 28 kills across 26 rounds. I mean, these are monster numbers. And I don't think he'll have another performance that good of for the rest of the major. But I've always been a big fan of RPK because I remember him from Source, obviously, where he was like the best rifler in the world for a very long period of time. Constant MVP, tournament after tournament after tournament, when the French Very Games team would just dominated CS. And yeah, I thought it was sad right early in CSGO when he made that decision to take a backward step. I don't ever think he's bounced back from that. I don't ever think we've seen the real RPK, the RPK I remember. And obviously age and everything's going to be a factor, but I think when you take a step out of the game, it's very hard to get back in it. And it's always nice to see him roll back the years. And also as well, G2, they do have this issue where, you know, I kind of feel like, again, just circle jerks and fanboyism are always going to be a part of what we do. But everyone talks about shocks and not so much the work other people do. I think Body, I don't know what Body has to do to get some attention. Because we've talked about high-profile failures of other French players that just aren't ready. You know, you think about what happened with Devil. Some people aren't sold on Sixer. I think that's a bit harsh. I think Envious are an infinitely better team with Sixer in it. But Body's just been quietly doing work. He's a solid, reliable player, really good at holding down the sights. And, you know, had very solid ADR yesterday. I think he was the second highest ADR on the team. And he doesn't get any attention whatsoever. It's always eclipsed by Shox's flamboyant, incredible explosive style, or when RPK has these games, or when Scream gets his one taps. Body, I think, is actually kind of the glue that really makes G2 tick. They've still got issues. I'm not going to come out and say, "Oh, didn't Smiths do well?" He whiffed some ridiculously easy shots again, wide shots, when he was holding the B site on cash. There was a number of times where he was in positions to get one or two kills and didn't get any. But his team won. His team's good enough to compensate for that. And honestly, it's not lies. It's not fiction to say he does all of this support work around the team. He's always the guy who will, you know, "Hey, need a boost? I'm the guy whose head you stand on. You know, need a gun? I'm the guy who drops it for you." You know, just I get that. I get why that's important for a team. I still wish Smiths could elevate his level back to where he used to play. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think, again, Father Time has robbed him of those extra, that extra reaction time to be an elite level player. No shame in it. You can still be a valuable person. I just feel that G2 would be better if he was doing that with a rifle and they had a world-class AWPer in his place, or in the place of somebody else. I don't know who you would say had to go. And it's all moot anyway, because I think we all know the French revolution's coming in. As for Fnatic, I mean, where to begin? I said for a long period of time, I think Dennis is the best player on Fnatic, on overall form. Didn't really show it. Disco Doppelin looks out of his depth. I think it's his first major. In fact, it is his first major. Really it was about Crims. I mean, Crims had a really, really good performance. The best he's played, I think, since he went back to Fnatic from Godsend. But not enough. Not enough to get a result. And I guess on the one hand, there's a glimmer of hope there, because Olaf Meister was steady. Twist was steady. Crims was slightly better than all of that. You know Dennis is going to be a better player. The only one you really need to worry about is what Disco's going to do experience-wise, whether he's going to be given the tools to succeed as a younger player in the lineup. And, yeah, I feel Fnatic are here and no player would ever admit this, but I don't even think Fnatic are in this moment. I don't think Fnatic are here at this World Championship thinking, right, let's go out there and get it. I don't think they believe they can win with this team. I don't believe they can win with this team. I don't think Fnatic fans can believe they win with this team. I think they're all looking to that future when maybe it's godsend players that come back, but I think we can all safely say Fnatic are going to make roster changes. So it's a bad situation to be in, and G2 handled that situation. Because there is parallels, they handled that better. SK Gaming, again, I think we can massively overplay the fact they're using Fox as a stand-in. And I'll say it loudly and proudly, I think Fox is a poor, poor player and a poor, poor stand-in. And I think SK Gaming have proven they don't really handle stand-ins particularly well. We saw that with Showtime. But here's what I will say. Fox got off to a really slow start, and I thought, here we go, but it doesn't matter. You've got Cold Zero in there, you've got Fur in there. These players are just monsters. You've got Fallen in there. Fallen dropping the AWP for Fox to help him get started, taking away from his own game to give Fox just a bit of confidence. Great thing for an in-game leader to do. You can see how SK are approaching these games. And honestly, their game against Hellraisers, Hellraisers could have got there, could have got on their face, could have played aggressively. I think a few players just really froze up in the moment. Bondic had the other Bondic game. There's two Bondics. You got Bondic who, you know, and this is the rare Bondic. He's going to go out and dominate and be aggressive and get his kills. And then you've got the other Bondic who's really going to struggle. And unfortunately, Strugs Bondic turned up. And Sticko, wow, I mean, he's going to be thoroughly upset with his performance. A lot of people said they could have expected more from Dead Fox. You know, I think I might be expecting a bit too much. This is a guy who, again, you know, he's in a major, inexperienced player, really come from nowhere, and has been instrumental in Hellraiser's success. And I thought he did okay. I thought he did all right. Angel's the veteran. He's had this resurgence, this renewal of form. The reason Hellraisers are a decent team right now and capable of winning those like tier two tournaments again and upsetting people, and the fact they're at the major at all, is really because of Angel and his fragging capability and Dead Fox and his AWPing. They're the two real standout highlight moments from the Hellraisers run to get to the major. But SK Gaming, they could have used anybody. They could have used any fifth and won this game comfortably. And you're not going to see SK Gaming get upset by lower opposition. There's just no way. There's too much talent on the roster. They're too astute tactically. They will not be upset by a lesser team. They're going to go to the legend spot. No doubt about it in my mind. And they'll lose in the playoffs. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. You're going to get a best of three thrown at you with a much better team. And unfortunately, Fox is going to be the weak link and it's going to let you down. Much like we saw when they were using Showtime. So that's what's going to happen. But this, fingers crossed and praying for the upset, it's not going to happen. SK Gaming are going to be fine in this kind of, you know, Swiss stage, if you like. Virtus.pro beating Optic. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. I called this to be a 16-13 game. And what I mean by a 16-13 game is a 16-14 game really hinges on one or two moments. It hinges on a pistol round, effectively. A 16-13 game is you're going to see two or three very high-profile mistakes or moments of brilliance that really turn the game. And I feel Optic and Virtus Pro on current form are so close together. It's a 16-13 game. And I said to the guys when we walked off the stage, I said, this is 16-13 to Optic. I felt pretty good about that prediction. And I honestly think it should have happened. Thorin hates it when you do this, when you get down to the minutiae and you analyze mistakes that people make and you go, oh, if they just won those moments, they'd won because you're not taking into account all the other moments. And I agree, it's usually a bit of a stupid way of thinking. But I think there was two high profile rounds where if Optic just get a little bit luckier, a little bit of a different timing, I'm thinking the Snacks 1v2, I think when it was 12-12 or 12-11. I think if that goes differently, I think Optic win. I think they edge it 16-13, and it's really unlucky of them that that didn't happen. Now, there's no shame in losing a Virtus Pro at a major 16-13. I actually think this continues to show just the leaps and bounds that Optic Gaming have made. Last time they played them on Cobblestone, it was 16-14. And Virtus Pro are a decent cobblestone side. I mean, that was the one thing they really started working on that helped get them to a place where they could start winning tournaments again and be talked about, because they used to be very poor on cobblestone. So yeah, really psyched for Optic that they had a good performance. Good performances don't mean anything, I suppose. You should win the games, but I got a good feeling about them. They've been drawn against Astralis. I'm going to say this now. I think that this is going to go out before the games. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to beat Astralis. I think Optic really are a world side now. They're not the best in North America. That's like a bit of a wishy-washy accolade. It doesn't mean anything. It can change on a day-to-day basis. Optic are comfortably the best in North America. It's not even a debate anymore. And now we need to talk about where they are in terms of being a top 10 team. I absolutely put them in there. And I feel that when they beat Astralis and they start moving forward, I think Optic Gaming are definitely going to start getting that respect that they deserve. Virtus Pro, no, this was a tough game that came down to one or two moments. And I guess the thing that really stood out for me is while it's business as usual for Virtus Pro, monster performance from Snacks, 28 kills, incredible clutch rounds, undoubtedly the MVP. This is the moment where we really saw this is a major. NAF dropping 20 kills again, 21 kills, sorry, against Virtus Pro. Rush, 25 kills against Virtus Pro. You know, it was kind of Taric that was a little bit down the pecking order, and we know that Taric does all this other stuff within the team. I feel, again, if Taric could have elevated his level a little bit, again, maybe my prediction of 16-13 comes true. You know, it was at 13-13 at one point. And I think Stanislaw, I just want this on the record. I think he's one of the underrated tacticians in World Counter-Strike. I think he's smart. I like the way he handles his business. I like the way he makes calls. He's never going to be out there publicly. He doesn't like to talk to people. He has to warm up to people to really come out of his shell. He just keeps himself to himself. Somebody should really pick his brains about some tactics here, especially on maps like, you know, Overpass, Cobblestone, where I think Optic are really doing new things within the meta. I think people should sit him down and try and pick his brains, because I think the guy is a real top in-game leader right now in terms of his tactical acumen. I believe that. I'm not just saying it for, you know, hyperbole or whatever. I think he kind of flies under the radar when we talk about great tacticians in the game. So Optic, unlucky here. Looks like they're going to get some tough draws. That's the nature of the beast. I wanted them to get to the playoffs. I still think they can do it, but obviously there's a long way to go now. And if they were to lose to Astralis, you probably got to say it's not likely to happen. But I think they'll win. So there, yeah, you can have that prediction. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Na'Vi beating Mouse Sports. I mean, is there any doubt? Mouse Sports, for me, are one of the worst teams here at the major. Just an absolute cataclysmic free fall. Too much going on. They've always been a fractious team. They needed somebody that can help bring the team together. I just think there's players. I think there was a study done recently that looked at players' consistent stats, and I think Mousesports were the only one that had two in the quadrant of consistently poor. That just tells you all you need to know. And look, I'll name him. I mean, it was Dennis and Speedy, of course. And I think there's a Chris Jay's level right now. Chris Jay is a world-class player. When you consider he used to be called Online Jay and all that, I mean, sure, we're going back 18 months to 2 years, but he's really turned his form around. He's the best thing about this team right now. Nico, I don't know. It's like, is it a crisis of confidence? Is he trying to do too much? Is he doing too little? But his game's gone to pieces, and they just look like a really poor team. I feel sorry for Lowell because he's been doing well since he's come in on an individual level. But this is just the Mouse Sports mess, and they were just manhandled by Na'Vi on a map that I think we all know Na'Vi shouldn't be playing Cobblestone. A great start to the tournament for them, the most dominant performance of day one. Not really a lot to say, other than I think Mouse Sports have a realistic chance of going 0-3. They'll hate me for saying it. They're very proud about their ability. Whenever you sit down and have a few beers with them, they always like, we never lose to American teams. You don't give us the credit and respect we deserve. I don't see anything there at the moment. I think they need to really go back to the drawing board, and they're carrying some dead weight. Sad to say. I think Nico needs to get back to his level as well. It's not even a case of we can say Nico's turning up every game. He's not anymore. He's not anymore. And all the people, again, that talked about him being the best player in the world, if that ever was true, and I don't think it was. I think in the same time period, people were talking up Nico. I think Cold Zero was still hands down the most consistent in the world. A point I made when we did a special at E-League. So I don't know. I think Mouse Sports are going to real struggle. I think they're the first team that really reeks of zero and three for me. We've already talked about Godsent versus Astralis. Envious versus Team Liquid. I mean, Team Liquid again, I think they're a 0-3 team. Envious did all they could to throw this game away. They gave JDM that 1v5 when it was like 15-9. And a great little highlight moment for JDM. Sure, he's got to hit the shots. I mean, it's just awful play. It was like literally like he was warming up against bots. They're in all of these pre-fire positions. They're running at him. There's just no need to do any of that. The bomb was down. Bomb was down in a good position. They could have just made, like almost like a five-man crossfire. Have people flanking. Just squeeze the map down. Squeeze him. Put him in a box and close out the game. They didn't. They made these stupid mistakes. And you saw psychologically what it did to Envious. They completely went to bits. Triple overtime. Longest game of the day. And yeah, it was embarrassing, frankly, that they were that poor. So Envious have got problems of their own. Yeah, I know they're coming in with WESG, another team that's kind of got that roster swap thing going on after the tournament. There was plenty of plus sides. MBK had a really good performance, a classic MBK performance on cash. Apex really, really good. I feel he was instrumental to the win. But yeah, Envious and Liquid, I've got to obviously give some special props to Elige. 48 kills and a triple overtime with 111 ADR. Ridiculous stats to for an entire game. MBK actually not that far behind him with 42 and 97 respectively. And when you think about like Nitro, Hiko, JDM all weighing in the 20s, Nitro especially looked a little bit adrift in this game. I thought Pimp was very functional. I thought Pimp did well. It was just, I don't know. I feel these people need to raise their individual level or something. Someone's got to do something to help them. But we're in a situation right now where I think Liquid, and I think Elige knows it. I think they're in an unenviable position of having a player who's on a higher level than everybody else, and he knows it. And it's clear. And it's clear to everybody. And I've heard lots of things that Elige can be, again, difficult. He was one of the main people who couldn't get along with Simple and make it work. But at the end of the day, he's the one turning up for the games. He's the one performing. He's the one that can drag them through these matches and individually win them. Everybody else kind of has to come up to his level, even if he's being difficult or whatever. You've got to make it work. So Elige is going to be hugely frustrated. I think the frustration within the camp of Liquid was evident coming into it. Lots of rumors there that there's going to be changes, or if not a complete, what's the word? A complete just collapse of the team. They brought in a coach. Zeus is very good. I think he's going to have his work cut out for him, honestly. I think they've got uncoachable players on the Liquid lineup. So both of these teams, I don't really put much faith in them to do anything at this major, but Envy certainly have bought a win when really Liquid, as soon as it goes to overtime, Liquid have got to win that. They've got to close that game out. They weren't able to do it. Really, really bad. And, you know, Envious gave him a choke. Envious gave him a choke. And Liquid still couldn't take it. And they couldn't take it with a monster performance by Elise. That's how you know Liquid are just going to do nothing at this major, unfortunately. So I think that kind of sums up my thoughts. I won't talk too much about FaZe and Flipside. It was a little bit of a boring game, and it was very much always going to be FaZe's to win. So we go into the match, day two matchups. Mouse Sports versus Hellraisers. You know, I've said Mouse Sports going to be a 0-3 team. I'll stick to that. I'll say Hellraisers are going to win. Na'Vi are going to run over Envious. No doubt about that. FaZe versus SK, I think that's like a 16-12. I'm going to give it to SK, even with the stand-in. Sorry about that, Carrigan. Flipside versus Liquid, I think this is the nail in the coffin for Liquid, because I think Flipside will win. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be ugly. I think if you had to miss one game this major and go make yourself a cup of tea, that's the game. I think then North versus Fnatic. North have got to show up. If they lose to Fnatic, they're out, they're done. The mental game will take over. Can't see Fnatic getting a win. Fnatic could conceivably go 0-3 after that. So North to win that one. Although I think, again, I think it'll be close. I think 16-10, something like that. Optic versus Astralis. Already called Optic win. 16-13. Close game. Godsent versus Gambit. Really tough one. Could potentially be the game of the day as well. I'm going to say Godsent. But very, very... And you know what? Yeah, go on then. I think it's going to have some crucial moments. I think it'll be one of those first halves. And it's map dependent. Godsent must do their homework and not play on Cobblestone. Try and get them on a train. Don't think Gambit will do that. I think they'll ban it out against them. So I think they'll end up on a neutral map. I don't know where it would be. Randometer is obviously going to play a factor. But, I could conceivably see, ending up on... Hopefully not an overpass. I don't feel Godsent on that, but whatever. It could be something like that. But I think Godsent will edge it. Individual level confidence. JW's back. Yeah, I feel Godsent to take it against Gambit. And then Virtus Pro versus G2. Virtus Pro, comfortably. So those are my picks for the day. I guess we'll see how accurate I am in all of that. And with that done, we're now coming up to past 6 a.m. So it's time to go and start getting ready, get the suit steamed, and go to the production meeting. Just as some little interesting tidbits, I think it's been really good so far, the major. I think we've had, we've overcome a few little hiccups. We had some sound problems right at the start. All done. And we're moving along smoothly. I think we've gone really well. Only a couple of very, very short delays. And so far, really good feeling about everything we've done. Your game commands up there. We're going out on YouTube, going out on Twitch. Obviously, we're all lined up for TBS. And of course, just to reiterate it, TBS and Twitch, the final, it will be simulbroadcast. So you can go out there and watch it on either. I think our preference would be TBS. We'd love you to tune in if you can. But obviously, if you're on Twitch, sure, have at it. So really psyched about the work we've put in. It's paying off. And I can't wait to get to the Fox Theatre. Anyway, I probably tired myself out, so if I'm a little bit tired on the desk, you know why. But thanks a lot for taking the time to listen to this and share your thoughts with me. You can tell me if you think I'm a nutcase. You can tell me if you think I'm on point. I guess we'll see you over the course of the day. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the major, day 2. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.